thought we were dating, but come Valentine's Day, apparently that wasn't the case.
After she felt blown off.
I look at my phone. I have about 20 missed calls from this dude.
Did she blow up?
She was like, oh, if you don't come outside, I'm going to slash your tires. I went outside and I saw the deep scratches in my car.
I could understand you got angry because he blew you off for Valentine's Day. You figured he was with somebody else in his apartment.
Later to find out he actually was.
I'm speaking.
I could hear you.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 24-year-old John Webster II is suing his ex-girlfriend, 24-year-old Lauren Duke, for keying his car on Valentine's Day.
Order. All rise. That's case number 481 on the calendar in the matter of Webster versus Duke. You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Mr. Webster, it is your claim that the defendant vandalized your car last Valentine's Day.
Correct.
Ms. Duke says she didn't do it. So why don't you tell me where the car was when it was vandalized?
The car was in the parking lot of my co-op community.
And how do you know Ms. Duke?
I met Ms. Duke in about November or December of 2008. We were out at a bar and we had started talking, and then our relationship escalated from friends to, I guess, dating, but, you know,
dating.
It wasn't official. Not officially.
Well, not dating, exclusively.
Exclusively, there you go.
Okay. Why don't you tell me what happened on February 14th?
I was in my apartment with a couple of my friends. We were watching TV, and my remote on my key went off, indicating that my alarm was going off. So I went outside, I looked at my car, and at first glance, I saw that my mirror was removed from the actual car, like just the mirror portion, and it was on the ground. So I'm like, okay. So I went over, I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I was like, all right, this is crazy. I didn't know if the person that parked next to me, like, opened their door and knocked it over, or if some kids were playing around and, like, vandalized the actual car itself. I went inside. I was like, wow. I was like, my mirror fell off to my friends. I didn't really think anything of it. So the evening went on, progressed. We were actually supposed to go out, but decided not to. We stayed in. They left. I forget around what time. I go into my room, and I actually look at my phone. I have about 20 missed calls from Ms. Duke and about two voicemail messages.
How come you weren't supposed to see her on Valentine's Day?
Because, like I had indicated, we weren't exclusive. We didn't make any prior engagements to go out or do anything like that, so.
Okay. So you saw 20 calls from her. Did you play back the messages?
Yes, I played back the two messages. The first message was a message indicating that she was outside my residence for about an hour and a half, and she saw that my car was there and that I need to come outside, and she knows there's some other girl in my apartment, which in actuality was true. There was two other girls and another male. We're all friends, nothing, you know, inconspicuous. And that was pretty much about it for that part.
What did the other 20 messages say?
The second message actually indicated that she was like, oh, if you don't come outside, I'm going to slash your tires. And that was pretty much about it. So I had called her back after I went outside and took a look at my car, when she indicated I should go outside and look at it. And I saw the deep scratches in my car.
Who said you should go out and look at it?
She did on her message. She was like, if I were you, I'd go take a look at your car.
You don't have any of those recordings on your telephone, do you?
I had those recordings on my phone. I played it back for the actual police officer that took my statement the next day when I took him.
Do you have the police report?
Correct.
I'd like to see that, and I'd like to see the car.
There you go.
Is this what you're talking about?
Yes, the deep scratches?
Yeah.
Yes.
Your complaint alleges that you had the work done already. Which one did you
use? Correct. I have the two estimates along with the actual receipt that the work was done. Now, she had verbally agreed to pay me for the damages to the car.
And I assume you have those recordings.
I have a recording of her indicating that she would pay me for the damages, correct.
Go. I'll hear you.
I did meet him around Thanksgiving of 2008. I thought we were dating, but come Valentine's Day, apparently that wasn't the case. I saw him the day before Valentine's Day. I don't remember how much of the day we spent together, but I do remember late at night we had went to the supermarket. He picked up some groceries. On the way back from the supermarket, or either on the way to the supermarket, he had made a phone call to his brother, making sure that their plans that they had for Valentine's Day were still on, that they were going to spend the day together. I thought it was strange. I didn't ask him why you don't want to hang out with me on Valentine's Day. I thought, you know, we were pretty close at that point. So I just let it go. I didn't care. You know, he wants to hang out with his brother, that's fine. And then when I saw him buying all the groceries, I thought that maybe, okay, maybe he's trying to plan something special for me. Maybe he wants to make me dinner. Maybe he wants to surprise me, but he doesn't want to tell me. So come Valentine's Day, I talked to him early in the afternoon. He told me he was at his mother's house. A couple hours went by. I've called him again. He didn't pick up the phone. And I find it quite strange that he wouldn't pick up the phone, because I've called him other times when he was at his mother's house and he had no problem picking up the phone. So more time went by, and then I called my friend Charlene here to see if she wanted to go get a bite to eat with me, since I wasn't doing anything on Valentine's Day, and she said okay. She came to pick me up. We went out to eat. I called him when we were at the restaurant, and I even called him after the restaurant to see where he was, if he was okay, and no answer. So I asked her if she would mind driving by his place. We were about a half hour away, and she said that was fine. I wanted to drive by and see if he was there, make sure everything was okay. Got there, his car was there, and I was a little surprised. I continued to call him. I continued to send him text messages letting him know I'm outside. Why aren't you picking up your phone? What's going on? Are you okay? He didn't even have the audacity to pick up a phone call or respond to one of the text messages to let me know that everything was okay.
No.
So he finally did pick up the phone, and when he did pick up the phone, he told me he wasn't home, that he was with his brother and his friend. So I said, okay, that's fine. You're okay. Charlene, let's leave. We went to a local bar. We had a couple of drinks. We took a cab home, went back to her house, and that was it. The next day, she drove me home, and he's blowing up my phone, asking me why I did what I did, why I vandalized his car, and I really had no idea what he was talking about.
Did you agree to pay for his car?
No, absolutely not.
I'd like to hear it.
Wow.
No, I never said I was going to give you half of it. I said I'd give you a chunk of the money I get back from my income tax and my 401k together.
Doesn't even sound like me.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Just
all
sounds
right.
Exactly like you.
No, it doesn't.
Sounds exactly like you.
That doesn't even sound real. Like,
well, you're gonna get your money. You don't make it seem like I'm not gonna pay you. I'm gonna pay you. I want to be done with this. I don't want to think about you. I don't want to talk to you anymore about any of this. That's it. I'm done. I want you out of my life for good. You're a big waste of time. A big waste of time.
Who is she talking to?
That is not even me.
Who are you talking to?
I have no idea.
How was that? Now, she indicated to me that
back?
She was going
to. Why didn't he talk back to you?
Yeah, why wasn't he talking? Was I talking to myself, I guess?
That's no, cool. I was actually recording on my phone. Actually, it records, and it only recorded the, like, one side, so wasn't altered, none of that. But that was her on the tape. And
it was her on the tape.
Exactly. So she had originally agreed that she was going to give me $150 a week, and then she was going to give me a chunk of her income tax money. At the time, she was unemployed, and she was also working at, I think, a Dunkin' Donuts or something. So I was trying to work it out so this way she could pay me back in due time. She did make one payment to me on May 25th of 2009, and that was the first and only payment I did receive from her.
How much was that for?
That was for $50. Cash.
Where were you when you got that money?
We were actually in my apartment. I had her come over, and she actually, I signed as well as she signed that she paid me the $50, and we also dated.
I'd like to see that.
Oh, yes. Here you go.
Why did he still continue to call me? I was friends with him after this incident happened. We continued to be friends until the end of the summer.
What'd you give him money for?
I didn't give him any money. I didn't give him anything. Why should I pay him for what? I did not do anything.
Yeah, you did. You vandalized his car.
I didn't do anything.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He figured he was with somebody else in his apartment.
Later to find out he actually was.
I'm speaking.
I could hear you.
See, I recognize the voice. That's the attitude that I recognize on the tape.
And later today.
She made her payments for 2 years. That be
no.
A fair statement, Mr. Torres?
No,
don't play with me, sir. If you play with me, I'll wipe up the floor with you.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. John Webster II claims ex-girlfriend Lauren Duke keyed his car. John says Lauren was mad at him for ignoring her on Valentine's Day.
Now, I can understand you got angry because he blew you off for Valentine's Day. You figured he was with somebody else in his apartment. You called him 20 times.
Later to find out he actually was.
I'm speaking.
I could hear you.
Good. See, I recognize the voice. That's the attitude that I recognize on the tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why you got irritated. And I could understand even you're pumped up with your friend, maybe had a glass of wine or two, and vandalized his car. But it's sort of ridiculous for you to come here and suggest to me that that's not you, this isn't your signature. And after calling him 20 times and him not answering, you just decided, well, I'm going to leave. I see his car.
I decided to leave after he picked up the phone and told me he wasn't home.
Yeah, judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,500. That's all. Thank you.
Also, I also have my work
Yeah, I know you have your work.
Stuff that I have?
I know you have. You should have taken her out for Valentine's Day. You should have had your work and your car and everything else.
No, I had to. I had my car rental that I also had to.
I'm paying you for fixing your car. Do you get it?
Okay, so not for the actual car
rental. Not for your aggravation. Goodbye.
Okay.
She was aggravated you didn't take her out on Valentine's Day.
Bodies are excused.
Thanks, at least somebody agrees with me. If I apparently vandalized your car, why do you still want to call me and hang out with me?
That is a lie. I'm not crazy enough to sit there and date somebody that's going to sit there and slash my tires.
The fact that he still continues to try and be my friend and I want nothing to do with him.
Or attempt to, or say they're going to slash my tires.
I just find it strange.
Stay away from the crazies.
Stay single forever.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Higgins versus Torres. Step forward.
23-year-old Ashley Higgins is suing her ex-boyfriend, Eric Torres, and his sister, Nellie, for the return of car payments and registration fees.
Ms. Higgins, you and Mr. Torres were involved in a relationship for a period of time. Is that correct?
Yes.
And several years ago, you had a car, and it was not a very reliable car. So you discussed with Mr. Torres, his sister had a car that was newer, in much better shape than your car. So what you all decided to do was, Ms. Torres was going to let you have her car so that she could buy a new one. And you were going to take over the payments on the car and make regular payments and keep the car insured. And at the end of the loan, the car would be placed in your name.
Yes.
So far, is that about the agreement?
Well, the agreement was that she was going to do the payments while she had the car.
She was going to make the payments,
yes.
But then the car would be hers when she paid it
at
off.
At the end, yes.
That's what I said. Pay attention.
Yes.
And when you took over the car, you started to make payments.
Yes.
And you made payments through what date?
From October 07 until September 2009.
Did you make September's payment?
Yes, I did. I actually paid for the tags in too, $299.
In September?
In September. I have the proof right here.
On what date did you take back the car?
October 5th.
Is that correct?
She didn't pay up until September. She had given me the payment for August.
I have the payment.
Tell me.
Because when I took the car back, the payment was due again, and that's when I started paying back on the car.
Just a second. She made her payments for 2 years. Would that be
no.
a fair statement, Mr. Torres?
No,
don't play with me, sir. If you play with me, I'll wipe up the floor with you.
There were several occasions when she didn't have the full amount because...
That's because I wasn't...
Okay, she didn't have the full amount, so she would give me whatever she had and say, take it or leave it. I'm not going to let my credit get ruined.
Just a second. Just a second. When she did that... Did she ultimately make it up, or did you put in
no,
the money?
I had to put it out of my pocket.
Tell me what month and year and in what amount did you have to do that?
The one that I remember real good was August.
August of what year?
Of 09.
809.
She gave me $200 and I had to put $165.
Because I was in school and I had to pay my student loan, that's why. And I told him that.
Just a second. Did you tell him that you would make the $165 up?
No, I just told him, I said, this is all I have because I have to pay my school.
And what did
and
he say to you?
He was like, okay, well, I have the money. I go ahead and pay for it because he pays his car, his truck.
I was pretty much obligated.
Just a second. Is that the only time since October of 2007, Mr. Torres, that she was short on a payment that you can prove to me?
There are more. There was other times where she
well,
would only
tell
give
me the month.
I have my payment history.
Tell me the month and the year.
I mean, I don't know exactly because I didn't keep track of it, but I mean.
Because you didn't know?
No.
Listen to me. If you interrupt him again, I'm going to throw your case out. Do you understand?
Okay, sorry.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Put your hand down, Mr. Torres. You don't like this? You shouldn't have signed on to be bound by my decision. Do you understand?
Yes.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Ashley Higgins says ex-boyfriend Eric Torres and his sister Nellie repossessed a car she had been driving for 2 years. The defendants say Ashley was only making partial payments.
Go ahead.
The thing was that I asked the credit union if she could go in and put the car in her name because she had told me that
That's
she was
not,
given.
Don't give me your defense, sir. I'm asking you a question. I said give me a month and a year when you had to put money in. So far, I have August of 09 when you had to put in $165.
If I remember correctly, June was another one where she gave me $300 and then I had to put in $65.
Why was that?
Because I was in school and they were telling me that I had to pay for my loan because July is when I graduated. So I had to hurry up and pay for my loan in order for me to graduate on time. And I told him that because he did not want me to get a job. I have plenty of job offers.
Listen to me. When did you and Mr. Torres break up?
We broke up August 13th.
Okay. So during this time, from October of 07 until August, you were still boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So that if she was a little short on a payment, you had no trouble giving her the money when you were, listen to me, when you were boyfriend and girlfriend. Is that what you're saying?
It wasn't really that. It was like I didn't have a choice.
No, you could have taken the car back in June, and you could have taken the car back in August, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't. You let her keep the car, and you didn't take it back until after she broke up with you.
Well, the whole time, I mean, that was a factor, too. How was I going to be guaranteed that she was going to make the payments? Another thing is liability. That car wasn't going to be on her name.
Right. Now, here's your problem. How much was left on the loan in October of 2009?
$12,954.
It went from that to 20.
Shh. Mr. Torres, I'm going to ask you the question one more time so that I'm sure I have the answer, because then if you shout out again, I'm going to throw you out, and I'm not even going to hear any more evidence from you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do we understand each other clearly?
Yes.
That's the second warning. Third time, you're gone. Do you understand?
Yes.
How much was left on the car that your sister owed in October of 2009?
$12,954 with
18
cents.
Let me see. Well, almost $13,000 was still owing on the car when he took it back, correct?
Yes.
Did you accept September's payment on the car?
No, I paid that.
You paid it?
Yeah.
Do you have proof that you made September's payment on the car?
Yes, I have September.
September of
09. It says I made the check for September 15th, 09.
Let me see it. And when did you take the car back? On October 5th?
Yes, that's when he took the car back.
Okay, from. After that, I paid on the car.
I understand, sir.
The car payment was due on a third of each month.
Shh. She made the car payment September 15th of 09. You took the car back on October 5th.
Why would I take it back and take a payment from her?
No, no, no. She made it directly to the HAFCU 365, and it was cashed.
Okay, sorry.
Take a look.
That was a misunderstanding. When I took the car back, I started paying. So she had the car all the way through
October. Listen to me. Do you understand? She made September's payment.
Mm-hmm.
So she was not delinquent at the time you took the car back.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, it would be unconscionable for me to order the Department of Motor Vehicles to transfer the title to you because there was much more due and owing on the car than what you paid. Do you understand?
Yes.
You did not, in fact, maintain all of your payments, but your breach was very small. And I'm speaking, your breach was small, and I believe that in some way, Mr. Torres, because he was still dating, accepted those payments, even though they were not full payments, accepted those payments and did not make a demand for the full payment. Now, you did pay over $7,000 in the almost 2 years that you had the car. So if you can negotiate a loan in your own name for the car for the amount of $12,954, I will prepare an order that Mr. Torres is to turn the car over to you. Put your hand down, Mr. Torres.
I have proof of insurance.
Put your hand down, Mr. Torres.
And I don't want to take over the car. I don't want no ties with him.
Oh, fine. Then I'm dismissing your case. That's what you're getting back. You're getting back either the car, if you can negotiate a loan in your own name, because now he's not your boyfriend anymore. And neither he nor his sister, whose name is on the title, want to be connected to you. They don't want to be connected with you because their name would be on the car, and if you had an accident, if whatever it is, they would be responsible, at least in part. So you have 2 weeks to renegotiate. Put your hand down, Mr. Torres. You don't like this? You shouldn't have signed on to be bound by my decision. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes is the answer.
Yes.
Now, what she's saying is she doesn't want to get a loan. She doesn't want the car back. That's too bad. I'm telling you that if you can get a loan in your own name for $12,954, which is what it was when he took it over, which is only a month ago,
I will prepare an order that Mr. Torres and his sister are to turn the car over to you and to put the title in your name. Do you understand?
Not really, because
Well, then if you don't understand, we'll play this over again for you so you do understand. You're not getting the money. You're getting the car if you can make the payments on it. And if you can make the payments on it, it's got to be in your name. Now do you understand?
I understand, but I can't put it in my name.
Well, if you can't put it in your name, your case is dismissed. That's all.
Excuse me. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I offered for her to put the car in her name. She never wanted to go and try.
No, he didn't try to put it in my name.
I guess that's what happened today, you know?
He had me sign a paper that I found in his car months later that was supposed to have my name added onto the registration.
The car is there. If she wanted to take over, it was going to be there for her, too.